everybody. My name is Shauna, and this is the American English Podcast. My goal here is to teach you the English spoken in the United States through common expressions, pronunciation tips, and interesting cultural snippets or stories. I hope to keep this fun, useful, and interesting. Let's do it. Welcome back to part two of my conversation with Liz. Today, we'll go through a handful of new similes and common comparisons. Remember from the last episode, a simile compares two things using the words like and as. Similes are fun, they can be funny, and they paint very clear images in our mind. For example, at night, I sleep like a log. A log is part of a tree that has been cut down, such as the trunk or a big branch. They don't actually sleep, but you can visualize it, right? It's just heavy, lying there, not moving. At nighttime, I sleep like a log. After eating that heavy meal, I feel as big as a whale. As big as a whale. That's another simile. Comparisons like these make language fun, so listen closely to the audio. By the end of this, I guarantee creating similes will be second nature to you. In other words, it'll come naturally. Without any further ado, let's begin.
Yeah, so we've gotten halfway through the list so far. We're going to go a little bit quicker with some of these terms, although I know there are still some good stories that will come out of this. Just a reminder, we're going to be pausing for 5 seconds after the as blank as a, just to give you a chance to think of what the comparison is. Stop, think. If you need to pause the audio, that's also fine. Let's do this. As sick as a
dog.
Woof, woof. I got a dog. Yeah. This is really common.
Yes, yeah. Very common. I would use this anytime.
Yeah, sorry, I couldn't come to your birthday party. I was as sick as a dog.
Yeah. With COVID, I'm sure everybody, you know, like, how were you doing? How did it affect you if you got it? And then somebody might say, I was as sick as a dog. I was terrible. I couldn't leave the bed for days.
Exactly. Yep. It's fixed. You're not as sick as a cat.
No, you're not. As sick as a
wombat.
I was trying to think of a non-animal.
A non-animal.
A carrot. No, you're as sick as a dog.
Yeah, as sick as a dog. I love this because Lucas always says the wrong comparison and it makes things so funny. When he compares something rubbery, like he compares it to Havaianas.
Oh.
Like, oh, this steak tastes like a Havaiana. And it's like, oh God, that's really funny because we're not used to that comparison.
And being literal isn't wrong.
Yes.
It just happens to be we have these sayings that we use, but everybody would know what you meant.
Exactly.
Which is the main point of trying to learn another language is coming across and explaining your point.
Exactly. Make mistakes. The more you're making mistakes, it means you're trying. Exactly. So now we have as smooth as butter.
I was going to say a baby's bottom.
Both of those kind of work. As smooth as butter. I'm just thinking of the song by BTS. Is that smooth like butter? How does the song go?
I don't know it.
What? BTS?
I know who BTS is. Oh. I don't want the BTS army to come out after me.
Oh, that's going to kill me.
Oh, I have heard that one.
It's so big.
Okay. Big. I've heard that.
Yeah.
I just don't know the words.
Okay. Smooth like butter. I have to know. Ha ha ha. All right. So smooth like butter. Yeah. So I'm going to say that's also acceptable, my answer. I am the final say.
There's a large population who listens to BTS, so I'm sure.
All right. So yes, Liz, you were correct. As smooth as a baby's bottom. We're going to also accept smooth like butter and as smooth as a baby's bottom.
Yeah. I mean, I'm not the one with babies, so, but.
It's pretty smooth.
Pretty smooth. Yeah.
So what do we mean by smooth? If someone is a smooth talker?
Yeah, you could say that. You know, maybe somebody is, you know, like a ladies' man. Mm-hmm. They have a lot of game. Mm-hmm. You would maybe say that they're as smooth as a baby's bottom.
Yeah.
But I think I would mostly use it in like a feel.
Yes.
You know, silky, smooth. It could be in the way maybe something texturally tastes with the food. Like a soup is very smooth. Uh-huh. You know, if you have something that's like a creamy based or
totally.
Like, you could say smooth as a baby's bottom. But I would also think like silk, maybe a dress,
yeah.
A very fancy dress. Yeah.
It's funny. If you're eating food at a dinner table with native English speakers and you describe the food, like this is as smooth as a baby's bottom, I guarantee everyone's going to die laughing
yeah.
at the table. It's hilarious.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But yeah, it's definitely, it's a funny one. You know,
yeah.
you can say in a joking sort of voice, you know.
Definitely.
As flat as a pancake. Oh, that's pretty easy.
Yeah.
This is usually guys talking about girls who do not have breasts.
Yeah.
They're as flat as a pancake.
Flat as a pancake. Breast or a butt. It could be either one.
Yeah.
You know, you have no booty.
Yeah, her butt's as flat as a pancake.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Pancake butt.
Yes. Yeah. Yeah, good one. As easy as pie. Why? Why as easy as pie?
Because pies are not easy to make.
Not easy to make at all. Not unless you've got
store-bought crust.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Exactly. A pre-made pie, like from Marie Callender's that you just throw in the oven and turn it on.
Yeah.
Yeah. All right. Easy as pie.
Easy as pie.
It's like saying it's a cakewalk.
Yeah.
Sort of. Or piece of cake. That's a piece of cake. It's easy.
Mm-hmm.
It's easy as pie. Cakes are also not easy.
No.
Stupid. Why? Okay. Next one. As snug as
a bug in a rug. We are not reading from something right now.
No, we're just looking at each other. Yeah.
Snug as a bug in a rug.
Yeah. I remember when I lived in New York City.
Ugh.
Oh, man. First winter ever, really in the snow. And thank goodness. The girl who lived in my room before me left behind all of her winter clothes.
That's right.
And I had this massive parka, bright pink.
Mm-hmm.
Underneath it, I would pack multiple layers and scarves, and I had my beanie on. And when I was done, I was as snug as a bug in a rug. I was very tight, compact.
Yeah. I always think of, I would say this in New York or when I lived in DC or Berlin. All of the babies in strollers, and they'd be in like the little sleeping bags. They have the plastic over them, and they are just bundled in there, and they look as snug as a bug in a rug.
And I can imagine you saying that to the mom too, like, aren't you just as snug as a bug in a rug?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. I would definitely always use it maybe also as like a diminutive, kind of like the as cute as a button, as snug as a bug in a rug.
Yeah.
You know, they mean different things, but contextually, it probably also, you know, use it for something that's cute.
Mm-hmm.
But like, maybe I'd.
Yeah.
But it doesn't sound wrong to use it to describe yourself when you, you know, layer up and put 10,000 pieces of clothing on to go to work in the morning.
I imagine someone also, you know, during wintertime, they're curled up in the corner of their couch with blankets and stuff. I would say also, wow. Oh, aren't you just as snug as a bug in a rug?
You know,
and it's fun to say because obviously there's the rhyme. And I think that's why it exists, because why would there be a bug in a rug? And why would it be snug? Meaning tight, like, you know, tightly wound within it. It doesn't really make much sense.
I mean, a bug under a rug is going to be
pretty snug.
Pretty snug.
Under the rug, squished underneath it. Yeah.
But
it's a good point.
Yeah. Something that's cozy, comfy, and it's definitely a funny thing to say. I agree with you.
Mm-hmm.
You're never... No, I would just say it, but I'm also saying it in part to be joking.
Yeah. Yeah. It's cute. I love these because they really make language more lively.
Mm-hmm.
Like, don't you feel like, you know, it just adds such flavor to a conversation if you can just add a comparison like this?
Yeah.
And I think just risk it. Just do it, guys. It's great. As straight as an arrow?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. As straight as an arrow. Does this mean that someone's not gay? Like, I'm as straight as an arrow?
No, I think you would describe it as somebody being like
direct,
on the right path, like kind of like a square. Like they're very like straight on. They always follow directions.
Mm-hmm.
I think that's how I would use it.
I don't think I would use it.
Maybe somebody who stands up straight. Yeah, it's not one that I'd use, but
I would use it in a literal sense, but not a figurative sense. I would just kind of, I would use it. Yeah, you're straight, like as tall, you're tall or something.
Yeah.
Tall and
you have good posture.
Exactly. As stubborn as an ox. An ox is an animal.
Yeah. And would you say a mule?
Mule. Yeah, definitely. A mule is a cross between a donkey and a horse? Is that right?
Yeah.
Okay. And are they stubborn?
I guess so.
Okay. An ox, I can imagine being stubborn. I can't even imagine how people used to farm and do agriculture with oxen is the plural. That doesn't really make sense. It seems like it's a very strong, resistant animal.
But I suppose it would be very difficult to pull one or make them go the way you want them to. So they might dig in and be stubborn and won't do what you want them to do.
Yeah. Do you know someone who's as stubborn as an ox or as stubborn as a mule?
My eldest dog is very stubborn. When we take him on walks, he's the one who kind of guides the way. He tells us where he wants to go. If I try to take a different path, he'll just hunker down. He'll sit, and he's only 20 pounds, so I can't make him move. But he does whatever he can to make sure that we're going the direction he wants us to go. When he's ready to go home, that's what we do. So he's definitely as stubborn as an ox.
Yeah.
Just not as strong as one.
Yeah. It's funny. Yeah, he's quite small. Very cute, though.
Yes.
And it's kind of funny seeing the small animals have such strong personalities and, you know, want to lead the way and want to be in charge. And then you're like, you're just so small.
I can pick you
up. You're just as cute as a button. very nice. As dead as
a doornail.
Yes, Liz. A doornail. What in the world is a doornail?
Truly, I only know this word from this simile.
Same.
Like, this is not a word you use.
Ever.
At all.
Ever. Doesn't exist elsewhere, but it's totally very fixed to this saying.
Yes.
As dead as a doornail. You know, I can imagine at the end of a story someone tells, if it's a funny story, because there's... You got to have a little bit of humor in the story. If you're saying someone is as dead as a doornail, you're not going to have some sort of like strong emotional connection with the person that's dead because you're making this comparison.
Yeah.
It's kind of funny. It's
but
the person is very clearly not going to wake up. They are very dead. It's over.
Yeah. Like you can use this to say, you know, maybe you fell asleep watching a movie on the couch and your phone rang, you didn't hear it, and you said, I was as dead as a doornail. I was, like, dead asleep.
Did you use it like that?
Yeah, I would.
Okay. And you could also say you slept like a rock, right?
Yes.
Slept like a rock. Dead as a doornail, slept like a rock.
Yeah.
All of these would work.
Dead to the world.
I was dead to the world. That's a good one. Yeah, the world...
Didn't exist.
Yeah, it didn't exist anymore. No connection to you. That's great. As sly as
a fox.
right? Sly means sort of clever and cunning. Mm-hmm. And a fox, this is an animal, right? What does the fox say?
Ding, 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 ding.
You know, like Stargate made that song?
Oh, yeah.
It's crazy. Anyway, as sly as a fox, yeah, someone who's doing something maybe manipulatively or potentially without you seeing them secretly. You don't see it. They're just smart and
yeah, mischievous.
Mischievous. Good one. Julia really likes sweets. I'm not kidding. Like, this girl has got the biggest sweet tooth in the world. And we have these little stools in the kitchen, the little white ones.
Yeah.
She will climb on top of them, open the cupboard, and she can grab stuff now.
Oh, God.
And I mean, she's as sly as a fox because she does it so silently. I don't even know she's in there. And then I go in there and she's got crumbs all over her face. So, like, she's not entirely sly because, you know, I catch her in the act. But it's pretty impressive. She's as sly as a fox. The next ones are a little bit funny because we're using like instead of as something as, right? So to eat like a pig, that would mean to eat
a lot.
A lot.
A ton. Right?
Yeah. Okay. Don't need to go too much in depth for that one. The opposite then, if you eat very little, then how would you do that? How would you describe that?
To eat like a bird.
To eat like a bird.
You're sort of just picking at things, little bites.
My mom eats like a bird.
Mm.
Always. She always has. You know, she has her food on her plate. You know, she takes a few bites here and there, and she's done after eating a very small portion. Clara, too. Do you eat like a bird, or do you have a tendency to eat?
I guess I'm more piggy.
All the time, or just when you're ravenous?
When I'm ravenous, but yeah.
Yeah, good. So if you have eyes like, well, this is going to be a little bit harder, right? Mm. So I'm going to have to, you know, just say the two words and then give you the 5 seconds, and you're going to have to guess the comparison here. So eyes like a hawk.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. I recently actually did an episode about the beach.
Yeah.
And I gave this comparison, thinking of someone's mom watching their child as they go into the water, and they watch their kid like a hawk because they don't want to avert vision because, you know, it's their kid potentially at danger if they, you know,
get swept away or eaten by a shark.
Eaten by a shark if they drown, you know. Do you have anything to say on that one?
No.
You want to move to the next one? Okay. To work like a
dog?
Work like a dog?
Let's see. Do we need to consult our cheat sheet?
We do. Work like a dog.
Work like a dog.
Good job, Liz. We have next one. Smell like a rose. I guess I should have specified that it smells good. Oh, I smell like a rose. This could be really any comparison there. Yeah. Okay, to sing like
an angel.
Right? Yeah, if you sing really well.
Hark the herald angels sing.
Yes.
Glory to
the newborn king. You've got a beautiful, beautiful voice. Mm-hmm. And you do have a beautiful voice, Liz.
Oh, no, that's not true. But
you sing like an angel. Yeah, it's kind of funny to say someone sings like an angel to their face.
Yeah, you might say like they have the voice of an angel.
Mm-hmm. Or like if you were in the room, I feel like I still would kind of avoid that because it's so direct. Like it's very personal. Like I would say it maybe about somebody when they're not in the room. Like, oh, she sings like an angel.
Yeah.
To act like an animal. Oh, I'm guessing.
Yeah.
I was going to say like an animal.
I was going to say a wild animal.
Yeah. So I'd actually like to point out here. So act like my kids act like an animal, or my kids act like animals?
My kids act like animals.
Okay. So you would change the comparison to the plural?
Yes.
Okay. I feel like sometimes I can be flexible with that and not necessarily make it match.
Yeah.
Acting like an animal.
I wouldn't hear that and cringe.
Right. It could work. I wouldn't write it, maybe.
Perhaps? No, I wouldn't write it. No.
But yeah, you might hear it. Hmm. Something works like a charm.
Charm. Yeah.
What were you going to say?
Clock, but that doesn't.
Oh, like clockwork.
Like clockwork is what
What does that mean? Just to share with the audience, because that's a good one.
To work like clockwork, you know, clocks are consistent and reliable. Mm-hmm. So if something's like clockwork, you can always expect it to happen mm-hmm. at exactly the right time when you expect it to.
To stick out like a?
Sore thumb.
I love this one.
Yeah.
Have you ever felt like you stuck out like a sore thumb?
Oh, yeah.
All the time. So a thumb, you guys know, is when you give someone thumbs up. You've got these two big fingers. The last one on your hands, like, I don't know, I guess if you're hitchhiking, you put those thumbs up in the air.
Yeah.
I don't know. Two thumbs up, two thumbs down. You guys know what a thumb is, right? Yeah. And a sore thumb is like a thumb that is in pain. It's hurt. It's not feeling so hot.
Well, I think if you take it literally, like if you hurt your thumb and maybe you have to have it bandaged, it's going to stick out more than normal and you can't pull it in. So to stick out like a sore thumb, it's out there. It's noticeable. People are seeing it. But
it's true.
I guess I've never really given it a thought about its literal sense until I'm sitting here.
Yeah,
right,
but that's
now.
Actually a really great explanation because the thumb sticks out by itself. It's already out there in the world farther than the other fingers. And then, if it's sore, it's really out there.
Yeah.
So now we think about the figurative meaning. You're standing out. You're not fitting in with the crowd in some way. Maybe the way you look, the way you're dressing. Mm-hmm. What example can you think of?
So when I started high school, I came from a Catholic elementary and middle school. We wore uniforms. Everybody was very proper. You followed all the rules. There was never a moment when you thought to yourself, like, let me not do exactly what my teacher is telling me to do at all times. Mm-hmm. And then I started high school, 9th grade, walked in, no uniforms. It's a free-for-all. It was a public school. And my first class of the day had a lot of older kids. It was a math class. Mm-hmm. And I remember just feeling like I stuck out like a sore thumb. You know, I was sitting upright. I was very prim and proper. I couldn't understand why people were talking over the teacher. I thought I was going to lose my mind and that everybody was looking at me like I'm sticking out like a sore thumb. And
did you end up meshing in with everybody else? Do you feel like you got along when what grade was this, did you say?
9th grade.
9th grade.
Freshman year.
So you didn't really have recess, but you had classes with people. Did you end up having conversations with them and get along with them?
Over time. Yeah. Okay. Maybe less so in that first class, but
awareness
really
was there.
Yeah, it really stuck out to me because there were like junior and seniors in that class. Mm-hmm. So me coming in as like a freshman, very like green, very like I had no sense of what I was walking into and mm-hmm. definitely felt like I was sticking out like a sore thumb.
Mm-hmm. And I feel like when you stick out like a sore thumb, there's always that awareness there. You're in your head. You're constantly thinking, everybody's looking at me. Everybody's noticing me. What am I doing here? Why am I here? Overall, I'm glad to hear that you ended up, getting along with people and it ended up working out well.
Made it through. Yeah. I'm here now.
And here you are. Here you are fitting in. Is there an opposite of that? Like, to fit like a glove? No.
No.
You want to fit, fit like a fiddle? No. No.
Seamlessly, I can't really think of,
you can fit in seamlessly. This is actually a really good thing to describe too. When seams are the part of your clothing where the stitches are. So it connects two different parts of your clothes. And so if you fit in seamlessly, I mean, there's no obvious part where two things connect. You fit in without anything being noticeable, just easily. I think that's a really good example there. It's really good.
Thanks.
We already did sleep like a rock or sleep like a sack of potatoes.
No.
No? Okay, that's just me.
right. I would get what you meant, but I would be like, oh, I've never heard that one before.
Shana, that's creative. All right. Just roll with it, guys. Just say it.
Yeah.
Now I've got a bonus, my bonus questions here. The last two examples are from songs. The first one is by Bon Jovi, It's My Life. And you kind of got to know this song. My heart is like a...
open highway.
An open highway. Yes.
Dun, 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 did it my way.
Exactly. Those are the lyrics I remember too. I don't think I know the rest of the song. Yes. But if your heart is like an open highway, I actually would not never say this.
No.
No, it's part of the song. Mm-hmm. Creative. All right, then let's move to the next one. It's been a hard day's night, and I've been working like a...
Dog.
Yeah. We went over this one. Good one. And who sang that song?
It's the Beatles.
The Beatles. Everyone needs to know the Beatles. So that's the end of our list. Liz, I appreciate you being here. I loved your examples that you gave. It was so nice to catch up. And I really hope to have you again on the podcast sometime soon.
I'll be here if you'll have me.
Yes, every day. Come here every day, please. All right. Enjoy the rest of your evening.
Thank you. Bye to everybody.
Bye. All right. We will be doing the rapid fire questions.
Oh, no.
Liz, are you ready?
I guess so.
She's on the edge of her seat, guys. Okay. These questions, I want you to not think about in depth. I want you to think of just the first thing that comes to your mind, I want you to spit out of your mouth.
This is a very Shauna thing to do.
No, this is great because, I mean, it lets the audience get to know you better.
Mm-hmm.
And just, I mean,
you've been pulling stuff like this since we were in college together.
Well, gotta do it. I love this.
Okay.
So, number one, what is your favorite city?
To visit or, sorry, I'm intellectualizing this question too much.
Don't intellectualize it.
To live in? To visit?
Just that you were like, wow, this is so amazing. I love this place.
I really like Tokyo. Can't wait to go back.
Okay. Sorry. I have a follow-up question with that. Why?
It was clean. Food was great. Everybody was nice. It was easy to get around. Great architecture, old and new. Yeah. Really enjoyed it. We're going back for part of our honeymoon.
Really? That's actually Lucas's number one place to visit. Not Tokyo specifically, but Japan.
Mm.
He got me interested in it. And actually, a very large portion of my listeners are from Japan.
Oh, so really?
They will really appreciate that answer.
Konnichiwa.
Yeah. Yay. Okay. Number two, what is your favorite book?
My favorite book is... My favorite book that I read recently that's jumping out to me is East of Eden by John Steinbeck, but probably my all-time favorite book is, well, my favorite author is Upton Sinclair. I like all of his books, but there's a series called the Lanny Budd series. I've read four of them. They're very long. They haven't really been republished since like the 40s, but they are very interesting. And
old English?
No.
No?
It's American.
Okay. No, but I mean, as in, like, is it a little bit more old-fashioned?
It's a little more formal.
Okay, formal. So
yeah.
Maybe not necessarily for an intermediate ESL learner. Okay.
But I would say East of Eden by John Steinbeck could be, but it's a very long book.
Yes. John Steinbeck is an author you guys should all know. He had a huge role in American literature and actually usually touches on like aspects of American history so that you can get a good imagery of how life was in the United States, especially during the Dust Bowl.
In California,
specifically. In California and agriculture and things like that. So John Steinbeck, guys. East of Eden. Cool. Number three, current favorite song. I should phrase it as a question because people have a hard time with questions. What is your favorite song, Liz?
I don't even want to say the song I've been listening to the
most. Let me guess.
You're not going to be able to
La Bamba.
I've been having we talked a little bit today about revisiting some of our like high school favorites and being vintage individuals now. And
Okay, wait. High school, who was popular in high school? I think flashbacks, Fallout. What is it? Fall Out Boy?
That's a band.
Yellow Card.
It's a band.
Yeah, I'm thinking of bands. I'm thinking of the bands and they're trying to pull out songs.
I've been listening to a lot of hardcore from my high school days lately. So a lot of like screaming. So that's why I laughed when you said your current favorite song, because I
like screamo music?
Yes.
You listen to screamo music?
I do
currently. Like who? Like, so you say hardcore as in the genre, or is that the name of the band?
No, that's a genre.
Okay.
Yeah.
What's the song?
Band I've been listening to lately is called Norma Jean.
All right. I'm so curious now. Why? Does this get out anger, or like do you have pent up frustrations in
to
life?
Me, it can be kind of melodic.
Okay. And
just like the rhythm of it, it sits well with me right now.
Interesting.
Yeah.
Are you going to play that at your wedding?
No. That's a solo in the car listen. And for whatever reason, I'm sharing it with you all. So
that's a
little insight into my mind.
That's why I love these questions, because it taps into things you don't normally get. All right. Number four. What is your most recent funny memory?
Let me think on that. I won't say anything work related because I'll get in trouble with that. But that is where I've had the deepest belly laugh lately.
Because you work with divorce.
Yes. So I'm a divorce attorney now. And people going through divorces do a lot of stupid things. And so you can imagine being the attorney on the other end, having to listen to clients.
Yeah. Have to look politely in their eyes and say, okay, that's interesting, while you're like really like secretly wanting to roll your eyes and go, oh my dear Lord.
Yeah. So.
Okay. So what's your answer that you can share?
That I can share. One of my dogs stole the other one's food last night. Buster stole Wilson's food. And then when I went to give the dog who lost out on his food more food, the chunky boy Buster went and tried to eat his food again and kept begging for more at his box and was like acting like he didn't get any when he had had two, almost three dinners. So just his persistence, being as stubborn as an ox, was quite funny to me.
Okay. Very nice. And number five, what is your favorite place to sit down and relax? Coffee shop or a city or, you know, a very specific location?
Yeah.
Actually, the reason I asked this is because I can actually remember the river in Berlin.
Yeah.
And I used to sit down underneath this tree and I remember that exact location.
Yeah.
And if I went back to Berlin, I would want to go to that exact spot because it resonates with me.
Yeah.
Yeah.
No, I thought of the same thing. I was like, well, currently, or do like if I thought of like the most peaceful place to sit, maybe not the most peaceful, but one of the places that I spent a lot of time like sitting and contemplating was actually in when I lived in Washington, D.C., kind of close to my work and where I used to live was the Botanical Gardens, the National Botanical Gardens. And one of the exhibits was kind of this small outdoor courtyard area that a lot of people didn't go to. So it was always quiet, even though you're like 100 yards, 100, 200 meters from the Capitol building. Mm-hmm. It's a very busy, important place, technically, but it just was this very quiet little courtyard with trees and this little stream that would run through it. And I would sit there on my lunch breaks sometimes, or just on the weekends just to mm-hmm. get a moment to read a book to myself. And that was a very peaceful yeah. place that was the first place that jumped to my mind. But currently I like to sometimes have my like weekend morning coffee just sitting in the backyard on yeah. on our steps.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It's funny to think about those sorts of places. I don't think about that topic very often, but I think everybody has a place, you yeah. know? No matter where you are in the world, there's got to be a place where you feel like that's your go-to spot, whether it's like sitting on a certain chair in a certain area of your room or sitting on the floor. I don't know.
Yeah.
Being somewhere special, you know, your special place. So I loved your answers. That's really cool. So you'd go to Washington, D.C. again and go to that exact,
yes.
exact spot.
That exact spot, that little bench and that yeah. little courtyard.
Lovely.
Yeah.
Perfect. Right. Thank you so much again for coming on the show.
You're welcome.
Talk to you soon.
Yes.
Bye.
Bye.
What's fun about similes isn't just the fact that they can paint funny images in our heads, but that common similes you have in your native language may be different from the ones we have in English. Depending on the environment and the people you're with, I encourage you to translate similes from your native language into English. Obviously, get ready to explain yourself if your comparison isn't literal or if there are some cultural references that don't translate easily. I mentioned that my husband is Brazilian, and when he eats bad meat, he compares it to a Havaiana. Havaianas are popular flip-flops in Brazil. Automatically, you get the idea that the meat is rubbery. It's like a flip-flop. It's like a bike tire or a car tire. For Americans who don't know Havaianas, though, they might be a little bit confused. You get the point. Read the room and get creative. Have fun with it. I hope you enjoyed that conversation. If you're interested in getting the full list with examples, be sure to sign up to premium content at AmericanEnglishPodcast.com. Once again, the links are in the episode notes. Hope you're having a nice day. Bye.
Thank you for listening to this episode of the American English Podcast. Remember, it's my goal here to not only help you improve your listening comprehension, but to show you how to speak like someone from the States. If you want to receive the full transcript for this episode, or you just want to support this podcast, make sure to sign up to premium content on AmericanEnglishPodcast.com. Thanks, and hope to see you soon.